This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to Your Turn with Mike Causey, brought to you by WEPA on Federal News Network. WEPA is the life insurance choice of over 46,000 federal workers and their families. Learn more at weepa.org. Here's your host, Mike Causey.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm glad to have you with us. And we're getting near the end times for the federal health insurance open hunting season. We've got one more week coming up next week. So listen up, if you will. You can save a lot of money. My guest today is the man who literally wrote the book on federal employee health benefits premiums, Walton Francis, who's been edited the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans for many, many years, knows it inside and out. And Walt, thank you for being a guest today. We're doing this by Zoom.
Well, I'm delighted, Mike, to join you yet again.
Here we go. Got some good questions from people who've sent in things. But I wanted to get to the column this morning because a guest wrote a large portion of it, Abraham Grungold, and he is a Fed who's also a financial coach. And he pointed out, and you know, you and I have talked before about the fact that way too many people are in so-called Cadillac plans. That is, these are the plans with huge benefits. They used to be high option in the old days. Now, again, I guess many of them are standard option. But the point is that most people pay too much in premiums for what they get back for these plans. And this is, it happened again and again. And you say this is one of the primary reasons that people should shop each open season, because so many of them, up to 20% maybe, could save $1,000 to $2,000 a year in premiums. But there are exceptions. And in this one today, he seems to make a case for having a Cadillac plan. He said he had a number of surgeries. He was in the hospital, and he is a financial coach. He's a very good one, and he figured he saved money by being in the more expensive plan.
Well, he may or may not have saved money. He does. I read his email to you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Thanks for showing it to me. And his expenses were like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he wound up being out of pocket for medical costs, only about $5,000. Fair enough. But about three quarters of the plans in this system are going to hold you to somewhere around $5,000 or $6,000. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maximum out of pocket. Plus you're paying the premium, which in the Cadillac plan he's in is more than $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but the crucial point I think is not join the Cadillac plan, though it often is indicated. I will tell you, if I were going to get a transplant next year, I'd be in a Cadillac plan if I knew it in advance. But look at the most you can pay, okay, the maximum out of pocket. And of course, is your surgeon and in the plan and as a preferred provider and so on. So if you have an expected large expense, that should be dictating your plan choice. And there are lots and lots of cases where you want to be in one of the more expensive cases.
Okay, so exceptions to every rule, and this is clearly one of them. Another question here from this one is from Fed in California, and he said, "I have Blue Cross Blue Shield of California, but I switched to Standard effective next year. I may need a transplant surgery, and was wondering what are the benefits. I may have to be hospitalized up to 3 weeks. I'll want to get a second opinion." And that's the major reason why I switched. I'm very happy with Blue Cross.
Well, number one, he made a good decision getting out of the local California plan,
mm-hmm.
Which is not one of the better buys in the system. Blue Cross Standard is, he's one of the people that ought to be in the Cadillac plan.
Right.
More power to him. He would probably do just about as well in Blue Cross Basic, maybe even a tad better. But there's something he'll sleep better at night knowing he's in that plan. Of course, he's the curse of the Blue Cross Standard option because a lot of people gravitate to it because they're sicker and more expensive.
Yeah,
and the plan's got to cover the cost of its enrollees. It's an excellent plan and has an excellent catastrophic benefit, and I wish him luck on his surgery.
Yeah, that sounds serious. We do wish him well. Here's one from Greg. Says, I'm be 65 next year trying to decide which way to go with health insurance. I've been in the GEHA HDHP plan for several years, mainly in the health savings account, which I have saved, invested via health savings bank TD Ameritrade, with a balance now approaching $100,000. He's got $100,000 in his health savings account. I realize with FEBH plans, I could either enroll in Medicare with FHB being secondary, or skip Medicare and just go to the FEHBP plan. But anyhow, get the gist of the thing here. Do you have any advice for him other than congratulations on his huge savings account?
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's a typo in his letter, but there are people with health savings accounts, I mean, federal employees and annuitants that are up in the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 range. It is that's sort of a little known investment vehicle for people who never pay any attention to plan alternatives. They're missing out on that option. He's asking whether you should skip Medicare Parts A and B. There is a provision that says if you're in a high deductible plan with a health savings account, you can't have other insurance and get the same savings account.
Oh, I
you
see.
Be in the plan, but you can't get the health savings account. You do get a contribution, but it's not your money to invest. The problem is that there's a little known law that says if you want to collect your Social Security benefits, you have to be in Medicare Part A.
Sure.
Now that's free. That's not normally the only case where you probably don't want to be in Part A is precisely his kind of case where you want to keep building up your savings account. But no, he's going to want to start collecting Social Security benefits somewhere around age 70, if not before. And at that point, he should, I think, switch out of the high deductible plan or keep it and not worry about it. Okay, because he'll still get the other kind of savings account, which isn't one he can invest, but he can use that to pay his out-of-pocket expenses. So, yeah, he should definitely sign up for Part A. I am inclined to say also sign up for Part B. And as long as he's still employed, and it's a bit unclear here, but assuming he's still employed and working at age 65, there's no penalty for delaying your Part B enrollment until you actually retire. You could work till age 75, and there's no penalty if that's when you actually retire and join Part B. Not that there's otherwise there's a 10% a year late enrollment penalty. The reason I suggest he sign up for both Parts A and B is that there are now some excellent choices for people who have both parts, namely by being in one of the new this year and last FEHB plans. United and Aetna and Kaiser all offer them, where they will pay essentially most or all of your Part B premium if you enroll in their Medicare Advantage plan while being enrolled in your FEHB plan. And those are very good buys. You're paying, in effect, you're paying one premium instead of two. Okay. So the big disadvantage of being in Part B goes away. And you're getting an excellent health plan. Most of these plans have you paying either zero or close to zero for doctor and hospital costs. By these plans, I mean the special Medicare Advantage plans offered by United, Aetna, and Kaiser. So there's lots of choices, and I think he's going to have to reconsider his strategy based on these new choices.
Okay, Medicare Advantage, looking good. All right, here's one from someone we hear from fairly frequently, Jeff, and he's in Philadelphia, and he says, it'd be good to hear from Walt on the self plus one option. That might make sense for empty nesters and only one federal employee, but for an empty nest couple with two feds, I have found self plus one to be from 10 to 20% more expensive than two self-only plans. In my area, only APW High was equivalent between self plus one and two self only plans. And I remember, back this was in the works for years, and people were fighting to have a self plus one and or a single plan. And people were surprised. The experts all said it's not going to make much difference in the long run. The premiums will sort of even out. And that seems to be the case in so many of these examples.
Yeah, and but let me. Yeah, it used to be the case that enrolling in two self-onlys was a terrible decision because the catastrophic protection, the most you could pay out of pocket, would be more than double the amount for one person. But that's changed. There's a little known change that's crept into this program in the last decade. Again, people don't realize they're in the same old plan year after year and don't even understand what's going on. Almost all the plans now offer the following deal. We have, if you're in a self plus one option or family, either one, if you have two people in the family, your maximum out of pocket is $10,000 for both or $5,000 for either. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the self plus one has gotten to be a lot better option than people realize. That said, two self onlys for people who are both federal employees, that's fine. That will, in most cases, save you a couple hundred bucks a year. Not a huge amount, but hey, $200-$400.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? And it also gives each spouse the ability to choose the plan they're in. So one may be a Kaiser person,
yeah,
and one a Blue Cross person, and they can go both ways.
Yeah, it's what we call a mixed marriage in the Washington area. Okay, Eric White, our producer, wants us to take a break, so we will do just that. Be right back here on federalnewsnetwork.com, 1500 AM. Be right back. Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He's editor of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans for 2021. And Walt's been doing this for a number of years, and he and I have been doing this show in various forms for years, as well as he has been the primary author for many of the columns that I write during the open season about best buys for people. Walt, when we talk about best buys for people, I guess the primary reason for shopping, the good news, bad news, is there are so many choices. You know, they talk about paralysis by analysis, but in the Washington area, it seems to me there are about 40, 41 plans that people can choose from, and that's an awful lot of that's an awful lot of choice.
It is, and it's daunting. That's exactly why Checkbook decided to produce our guide, because we want to steer people towards plans they may have never heard of that are likely to be better buys than other plans. And we actually calculate likely dollar savings in plan A compared to every other one of those 40 or so plans in the DC metro area, and usually 25 or 30 anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
The first thing people should do, of course, is think about the plan they're in and how will it serving them and their health status. And I'll come back on all those questions in detail. But if you're feeling just the slightest interest in giving yourself a $2,000 a year raise, by lowering your healthcare premium and other costs, how do you pick from among those other 39 plans? And the answer is, you could throw a dart, and you're likely to, good chance you'll find one better than the plan you're in.
Interesting.
You could use Checkbook's guide. We rank the plans least costly first, second least costly second, and so on with dollar estimates. So we're not talking about a $5 difference. We're talking about hundreds and thousands of dollar differences. You can go to the OPM website or our website and compare some plans side by side just to kind of see how they match up. Okay, in details that matter to you, you can go to plan websites. And one easy strategy for many people, because it's simpler, it's not the best, but it's simpler, which may make it the best, is let's say you're in Blue Cross and you like it, or you're in GEHA and you like it, or you're in Aetna and you like it. Well, there are multiple Blue Cross plans, multiple GEHA plans, multiple Aetna plans. So think about comparing the one you're in to some of the others offered by the same carrier. All of them offer multi-$1,000 savings if you make the right choice.
Yeah. Well, that's, again, I've heard people complain about the choices, but and it was interesting to hear you say you could blindfold yourself and throw a dart and still probably get a better plan out of it. There are that many changes. And I guess we talked earlier in the show, didn't use the term, but adverse selection, which I think is an industry term. But what it simply means in politically incorrect terms is you have too many old, sick people, so-called heavy users of both medical and prescription drug. And when you get a plan that's top-heavy with that group, the premiums are going to go up, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Each plan has to cover the costs of the people enrolled in it. So the plans that attract a lot of the older and sicker people, or just sicker, regardless of age, and more costly people, is going to have to cover in its premium next year and the year after and so on, the cost of those more expensive people. So the trick, the game in this program, in part, is flee the plan that has all the costly people in it and join one that's mostly younger and healthier people with lower costs. And indeed, those choices abound in the program. That's only one reason plan costs differ. There are other very important reasons, like how well they control costs mm-hmm. for unnecessary medical care, okay, and steer you into the best treatments and so on. But it in a sense, it doesn't even matter what the ultimate cause for plan A being a lot less costly than plan B is. The question then is, why aren't you in plan A?
Right. Now, reverse the thing. Suppose you're a codger like ourselves, and particularly me. You're a certain age. You can't help it. You're not as healthy as you used to be. How do you shop for a health plan? How does that person shop for a health plan?
I think the same way anyone else does, but it affects your choices. For example, high deductible plans, which we've already mentioned, mm-hmm. that have these investment quality health savings accounts that are actually part of your lifetime financial planning, if you're in one, those are great plans for anyone who has low recurring costs, okay? Mm-hmm. And you maybe every 10 years you have some expensive event, that's okay. They're marvelous in that situation. But someone who's got a $5,000 a year prescription drug bill is not going to find a high deductible plan a good vehicle. Instead, you want to find the plan that's got a low copay for those expensive drugs you're taking. So you have to tailor your choice to your medical circumstances, but there always are plans, unless when you threw that dart, you landed on plan number 39 out of the 40, and it really was the best, quote.
Yeah.
But of course, there's no one plan that's the best. If you are in one of the low-cost plans, that's great, but you're a good chance, more than half of all federal employees and annuitants are not in the top plans in terms of saving you money.
That's just absolutely fascinating. Now, we talk about this, and I think it's something that it's so obvious when you say it, but until you say it, many people don't think about it. But the most important reason for buying health insurance in virtually every case is to protect yourself from a catastrophic, or the bills from a catastrophic event. It could be a disease, could be COVID related, could be cancer, could be a car accident. You could be 19 years old and have a car accident. But that's the number one thing to think about when you're buying health insurance, is the out-of-pocket cost to you in a worst case scenario.
Absolutely. And there's two components to the out-of-pocket cost. One of them is the premium you pay. That's a for sure expense. Okay, and the other component is the plan's guarantee that if the worst happens and you've got $1 million set of expenses next year, what's the guarantee the plan makes as to the most you will pay out of pocket for any medically necessary care? And the plans vary a lot in both premium and in that guarantee. Okay, multi-$1,000 differences. None of them are bad on the guarantee. Most of them are somewhere between very good and excellent, okay? But the premiums vary even more than the guarantee. And you want to be in a plan where both the guarantee and the premium are relatively low. And again, that's a factor that we take into account in our ratings. And we actually compare plans, or let you compare a select number of plans side by side in terms of which plan has the very lowest total potential cost to you second lowest, and so on, and how much do they differ?
Yeah. Now, in today's Federal Report column, which I hope people read, I can brag about it because somebody else wrote the best parts. But he is a federal worker and a financial coach, and he had a very tough medical year, planned for it, and I think he said his bills, I believe in the column, were $1 million for a variety of things. And yet he was only out of pocket something like $5,000, plus, as you pointed out, the premiums, which could be another $5,000. But even so, this was a very good deal for this person. And again, an example of it's not always best to buy the Chevrolet plan, but sometimes the Cadillac plan is the best. But at least go into it knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Absolutely. And I'm just glancing at one of our tables of results. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I see that the most you could pay in a year for a couple, a retired couple. So this is a higher number than they don't get the tax-free. Tax savings for premiums paid by people who are still working. The most you could pay in a year ranges from about $13,000. This is premium plus two of those $5,000 sort of each mm-hmm. guarantees is around 10 or 11,000 in a couple of Kaiser plans, around 13,000 in a GEHA high deductible plan. And I won't name the culprits at the other end, mm-hmm. but we're talking about as high as 20,000 and up in some plans. And 15,000 and up in many, many other plans.
Right.
So we're talking about a $5,000 or $6,000 or $8,000 difference, depending on which plan you choose. That's a lot of money.
It really is, and people don't often. You don't want to think about it in a worst case scenario, but that is, you point out, the number one should be the number one factor when you're shopping for a health plan.
Absolutely. In fact, I noticed now, I rearranged my results.
Okay.
I have the advantage of being on the computer while we're on, while we're talking, so I could check things out quickly. United Choice Plus Advanced. Now, let me stop there. Who's ever heard of that plan? Okay. Most people, 99 out of 100, have no idea it even exists. Well, that turns out to win the sweepstakes for lowest guarantee for the most you could pay in a year, only $9,000 for a couple. Together. Okay.
Wow.
So, and some of them are double or triple that number.
Okay. All right. Eric wants us to take a break again. And of course, we'll do that here on Federal News Network, 1500 AM. We'll be right back. Hey, Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. Talking with Walton Francis. He is the editor of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans. This is the Bible for people who are hunting for federal health insurance. And it's one of those things, Walt says, that virtually everybody could save some money, and some people could save $1,000 to $2,000 a year and actually get better coverage. But the trick is you need to shop around. And to do that, many federal agencies have, and this is a very smart move on their part, many federal agencies have contracted with the Consumer Checkbook Guide, and they now provide this online service where people can look up and compare health plans and see if there are doctors in the network and what changes have been made and all that, and do it not only on the computer, but do it from home, if they're working from home or if they're working from the office. And lest you think this is a boondoggle and another perk for bureaucrats, the fact is that the government pays the lion's share of health insurance premiums. I think it's an average of 72%. Their premiums are all over the place, but it's an average of 72% of the six largest plans. And for postal workers, the government, by contract, the Postal Service pays 75% of the premiums. So it behooves Uncle Sam, in the name of the taxpayer, to get you federal workers and you federal retirees in the most cost-effective plan, because then that way the government, i.e. the taxpayer, is going to lay out less. And to help you with that, In today's column, in today's federal report, the one about the Cadillac versus the Chevy coverage, there is a link to Checkbook, which tells you which federal agencies are subscribing to this service, and that should be a big help. It turns out it's many, if not most, agencies, and it's most employees in most of those agencies. So it is a very good deal. And you can even get it on your own, pay for it out of your own pocket. And, Walt, you've pointed out that the OPM health plan website is an excellent one, but yours actually makes things easier and simpler. It's more consumer-friendly. Tell me how that works and how people can take a look at it.
Okay. Well, first, if you want to take a quick look and see, for example, if your agency is one of those that gives you free access, it's pennies to subscribe to it on your own. Mm-hmm. Go to www.guidetohealthplans, that's all one word, guidetohealthplans.org. And you can actually read most of our advice without even subscribing to the book, to the online service. And we got a lot of advice that people ought to know about. Agencies that provide it to their employees save money when employees make frugal choices. So a prudent government manager, makes sure that employees have access to the guide. Our website is in most respects very similar. The OPM website is excellent, and so is ours. And most of the things they do are the same. Okay.
Yeah.
We provide pretty much the same information in great detail, and you can compare 1, 2, 3, 4 plans at once on ours. I think it's 3 at once on the OPM website. I think we provide somewhat more information, but the main thing we do that no one else does is provide our estimate of the likely dollar cost to you in each plan. We rank all those 40 or 41 plans in the DC metro area by least expensive to most expensive, taking into account your family size, your health status, your age. The answers are different for people of different age and health status. Larger families are going to have more medical bills than smaller families, and so on. And we have separate results for people with and without Medicare, Parts A, Part A only, or Parts A and B. Whatever your circumstance, we cover it. And again, you're right. I keep saying it. You keep saying it. There are ways to save $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000, or $4,000 a year by choosing Plan A instead of Plan B. And you just have to spend a little bit of time checking plans out to see those differences.
And that's getting to where it's really worthwhile too. A couple hours in December and to save you $3,000 or $4,000 the next year. That's a lot. Well, when we talk about these plans, I think we got a question from a listener last week, and I forgot to ask it, but it's a very important one. If you're working for the federal government, you can pay your premiums in pre-tax dollars. Is that correct?
Yes. So, in fact, it's automatic unless you decline it, which you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get about, let's say you're in a 20%, 25% tax bracket, and this includes state and local income taxes and your Social Security and Medicare premium taxes. I mean, it's mm-hmm. no one is under about 16 or 18%.
Right.
Most people are up in the 20s or low 30s. If you're in, that's a saving of roughly a third off the stated premium for the plan, maybe $6,000 a year. Okay. And that's the only number you ever see. You know, you'll see it in biweekly increments or monthly increments. The reality is, if you're still employed, you're going to be paying for that example, about $4,000 of that $6,000. That's a number you never see. The $4,000 mm-hmm. is what you're really paying. No one ever gives you that number.
So
we do.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of people, if you're a married couple, one of you is retired or retiring, and one of you is going to continue to work, always have the health plan come out of the working spouse because of that tax break, correct?
Right. Yeah. Annuitants do not get this tax reduction. So always have the tax paying spouse pay the premium.
Okay, and that same person asked me, and I again forgot to mention it, but it's worth it. And I don't think I know the answer. I suspect you do. But back when they came up with this tax break, if you will, for working federal workers, they did not apply it to retirees. Do you know why?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Okay.
Excellent.
No, it's simple. The Internal Revenue Code for the nation as a whole, for every employer, federal, state, or local, or private, has a rule that says employees can have this tax window. They call it premium conversion in the federal government. And some people call it pre-tax as opposed to post-tax dollars. It's a little bit confusing, but basically some of your income, the amount of your income spent on both the employer share, which you never see, and the employee share, is tax-free to you and, premium, that is share of premiums. But it's not a benefit available to people who are not working and are not getting insurance through their employer.
Right. And there's no movement afoot to change that because it would be tremendously expensive, wouldn't it?
It could be done. It's actually the federal employee exemption from this. This is a benefit that employers have to elect. Is done by regulation. It's not in law. Mm-hmm. So the law provides the possible benefit, the regulations. So the OPM regulation can be changed, but I don't think it'll be changed in the next 4 years at any rate.
Internal Revenue Service probably wouldn't be happy with it, would they?
No.
Okay. All right. Now,
so sleep easy on that point.
Yeah. Okay. The to be or not to be question every year. This is a big one, and I'm always so glad you're here. We have a lot of fun anyhow, and we lunch and all that sort of thing. But this is one where I'm so glad you're here because my eyes glaze over. But it is incredibly important for people who are asking the question, and that is you're fed, it's either your plan or you're a survivor or whatnot. Money should be tighter, probably is tighter when you're retired, hopefully but not by much. But the question is, do you get Medicare B? What is Medicare B? What does it cost, and is it worth it?
Okay, let's start with the simplest issue. When you're age 64, you're probably enrolled in a good GEHA or United or Aetna or Blue Cross plan, and you turn age 65. Your plan is still just as good, your FEHB plan, at age 65 as it was at age 64. So the question is, why do you care? Why is Medicare even relevant to you? And the answer is, in a way, it isn't. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't need to think about it. You will be enrolled automatically in Part A at age 65 if you're retired, and that's free. You've already paid taxes on it. And why would you want to sign up for Part B, which is duplicative coverage? Why do you need to pay two health insurance premiums? And the Part B premium, by the way, is around $1,800 next year. Which is very close to the $2,500 or so that you pay in most federal employee plans. So why are you going to sign up for Part B? And the answer is most people do it, about 70%, for whatever reasons. One of those reasons is you better do it when you turn age 65 and are retired, or there will be a 10% of your penalty for delay. And so they prudently say, I better sign up for it just in case. Who knows what may happen in some future year, and it'll be important to have Part B. And lo and behold, until recent years, we have generally recommended that it's basically a coin flip. You will never get back the money you spent on the Part B premium in reduced costs, because what's happening is instead of paying $30 a doctor visit, you may be paying zero. But you're not going to have enough doctor visits to make up for that $1,800 premium.
And you really don't want that many. Yeah.
So it's changing. There are now plans that pay part of the or all of the Part B premium. And there are now plans that will pay if you're in the FEHB plan, they'll pay the entire Part B premium and give you a wraparound benefit so you pay nothing for doctor or hospital bills. Hey, this is better than your FEHB plan alone. So our advice now is most people should sign up for Part B, even if they choose not to take one of these super duper plan options. That option is there, and if dollars are really tight, it's kind of a no-brainer. Switch to one of these plans. United, Kaiser, Aetna all offer them, and Blue Cross Basic pays about half your Part B premium. There are a lot of plans that'll pay, give you very good coverage if you have FEHB and Parts A and B.
All right. You take a short break here. Federal News Network, 1500 AM. Be right back. Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He's the editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans, and very important document. Save you a lot of money, and maybe save you from bankruptcy if you do the right thing. Walt says you can save anywhere from $1,000 to $4,000 next year in premiums if you do the right thing and do the proper amount of shopping. Most of us don't like to do this. I think if you like to shop for health insurance, there may be a masochistic streak in you, but in this case, it's definitely worth it. The open season ends in 12 days, so we've got 12 days to go. Walt, is there a checklist, something that people should be considering between now and the end of the open season? I mean, the bottom line is, whatever you do, don't do nothing.
Right. I think it helps to break out your thinking about it into two pieces. Part one, how will I do if I stay in the plan I'm in now? And part two is, are there some plans that'll give me a better deal? Okay, take into account step one. Under the first part, you need to think about your health and your family's health. Are there any major expensive events coming up? For example, a maternity next year is planned. Well, then you want to be in a plan that gives you zero cost maternity benefits. A little known secret is that most, but not all, plans will reduce your maternity costs to zero or very close to zero. You want to know if your doctor is in the plan or doctors. Again, taking that hypothetical, have a baby next year, is the gynecologist in the plan you're in? Okay. Mm-hmm. Call the office, find out if they'll be in your plan next year. Maybe you have a family doctor you'll use religiously. Is that doctor the one who's still going to be in your plan next year? So you think about your health circumstances, you think about your physician choices, you think about your benefits. One of the wonderful things about this program is there is a written in plain, easy to understand English brochure for every plan in the same format for every brochure. So go to the plan website or the OPM website or the checkbook website, download the brochure for the plan you're in. It's 100 pages long. You're not going to read it. You don't need to read it. All you need to do is open. It's a PDF file. Open it on your computer screen and check section 2, how the plan changes for next year. There may be a really important change to you, good or bad, and you will not spot it if you don't read that section 2. It's only a page long. You don't have to read the other 99 pages. If you, however, are a Medicare annuitant, you probably want to turn to section 9 and read the section on how the plan coordinates benefits with Medicare. That changes in that are not shown in section 2, and you need to know that, and it often changes. For example, these rebates for Part B premium that I've mentioned, your plan may or may not have one. Wouldn't you like to know? And if there's some benefit that's important to you, like maternity hearing aids or chiropractic, whatever it is, you can look for it in any brochure. Search quickly. You can compare multiple brochures. Just keep open three, four, or five of them. It's basically just something on your computer that you can look at or not. Make sure that the plan coverage for benefits that matter to you are going to be good next year. If everything is a yes, a go sign, that's great. And now you either could stop and say, that's fine, I'm where I want to be, But don't forget, there's also an open season on flexible spending accounts. Okay, money you set aside to pay for your out-of-pocket share of healthcare costs, and that, and you can tax advantage that money so that you'll save roughly a fourth or a third of what you set aside, and you have to sign up for your health savings, your flexible spending account before the end of open season. You also may or may not want to consider a dental plan or a vision plan. Again, those are benefits. Those are plans separate and above your health plan. And there's a FedVip program, and they have a separate website. And if you want to consider one of those plans, you should go visit that website. So you have some homework to do just in terms of sort of staying where you are, but make sure you've adjusted and tinkered with the things you need to tinker with. Now the question is, what about other plans? And again, if you're a Blue Cross person or a GEHA person, hey, you could just go to their website and they'll do a little plan comparison for you. And you may find that you could save a lot of money and get roughly or better even benefits than you're getting now for that maternity coverage or that chiropractor or whatever it is you're looking for. I think both the OPM website and the Checkbook website make it very easy to compare plans side by side on all their major costs and benefits. Okay, so you can see two or three plans side by side. What's the premium? Okay, how much does it differ? How do they compare in their hospital cost sharing for you? How does their maximum out-of-pocket catastrophic protection limit compare? And so on. So you can easily look for a few plans that might be better and then examine them in more detail. High deductible plans, which people don't want to look at. Hey, all of the plans that are high deductible plans have a section in the brochure that describes in easy to understand English how they work, how these health savings accounts work. And you can be amazed at how simple and easy it is to sign up for one of those plans and deal with routine medical costs and even higher medical costs if you need to.
Right. And it is critically important to be sure that your doctor or doctors, if you're lucky enough, are in the network of the plan that you're going to keep or the plan you're thinking about switching to next year, correct?
Yes. And it gets a little tricky here because, for example, GEHA uses mostly the United network. So if you call the doctor and you really want to say, are you in the United network?
Well, excuse me. Eric says we've got to go, so we've got to go. But hope to see you all here next week. Stay safe and have a good week, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m.
You've been listening to Your Turn with Mike Causey, brought to you by WEPA on Federal News Network. WEPA is the life insurance choice of over 46,000 federal workers and their families. Learn more at weepa.org.